This is show number 377.
I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw a bear eating barnacles. I didn't know bears ate barnacles, but bears ate barnacles because I watched it myself.
Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. And along with me today is our co-host, Laureen Romero. And if you're looking for us on the web, you can find us at hometravelagent.net. And you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And I always love to hear from our listeners, so don't hesitate to drop me an email. And Laureen and I love feedback on the show, so please feel welcome to send us information. Thank you. And we are an affiliate of the National Association of Career Travel Agents. And I encourage you to check out NACTA at NACTA.com, N-A-C-T-A, NACTA.com. Well, we've changed our location since I recorded the interview portion of the show. We left Southeast Florida here just a couple of days ago, and now we moved up to Gulf Shores, Alabama. And soon we're going to be leaving the beautiful Southeast, and we're going to head back to our home in Michigan for the summer. So, but I do encourage anyone and everyone to visit the beautiful Southeast. You just can't beat it down here, especially in the wintertime. I guess officially we're snowbirds. But anyhow, I'm going to move on to the interview. But before I do that, I just have a quality issue here with the sound in the interview. And I want to apologize for that before we get into it. The connection between Alaska and Jensen Beach, Florida, was not all that great. So I had to edit out a portion of the interview, some places we dropped off, and I had to make some edits to take care of that. But it does get better. So hang in there and give us a listen. And the information that you're going to hear about visiting Alaska, I think, will be very good for you and for your business as well. So without further ado, I want to get on to the interview, and here we go. Interview portion of the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and we're continuing our focus on Alaska. And before we get into the interview, I want to give a shout out to Amanda, who's sitting in the same room with Laureen. Laureen is at a
hi.
Hi, Amanda. Oh, Amanda's a longtime friend of Laureen, and I met Amanda several years ago when I went out to California for a conference, and it was a pleasure. So now Laureen and Amanda, I think you guys are at a camp, a girls retreat. What is it exactly?
It's our Dragonfly Girlfriends Weekend Getaway. We're also here with our friend Ronnie, who has opted not to be in the room while we're doing the podcast, but Amanda wanted to be a voyeur.
That's all right. So anyhow, we have a special guest, as we always do. They're all special. And our guest is up in Sitka, Alaska, where she was just mentioning before we started recording that the temperature up there is 13 degrees, and I'm sitting here hoping my air conditioner doesn't kick on because it makes a noise in the podcast. So talk about that for a contrast. We're down here in South Florida. Anyhow, Laureen, I'm going to turn it over to you so that you can introduce our guest.
Great. Thank you, Barry. And yes, it's very unusual for me not to be doing our podcast on my home-based desk at home. Just happened to be that you, Michelle, and I are able to get the date together. I was out of town, and that's okay. That's why it's modern technology. I can bring my iPad, and my computer, wherever I am. So long as I have internet connection, I can work as well as do a podcast. So I'm glad we were able to set up a date and to be able to do this. This gives me the opportunity to be able to introduce Michelle Glass. She is the Vice President of Sales for Alaskan Dream Cruises. They are up in Sitka, Alaska. They are a wonderful small ship cruise line. I've had the joy of being on a week on one of them a couple years ago. So when I talk to my clients, I can talk from my heart and my soul of real life experiences of what it's like to be on there. So, which is one of the main reasons that I asked Michelle if she would come and talk about it, because 2017 kind of our guest theme seems to be Alaskan. We've had Candace McDonald and Mandy Garcia from Salmon Berry Tours. We had Jody Overstreet on talking about her photography and about chasing auroras. And now we have Michelle Glass, senior vice president of sales for Alaskan Dream Cruise. So, Michelle, I want to welcome you to our podcast. Thanks for being here. And I'd love for you to tell folks about what product you have.
Thanks, Lorraine, and Barry, too, and Amanda. we have a great product here at Alaskan Dream Cruises. You know, the thing that I love to mention first about our company is that we are the only Alaskan-owned and operated cruise line, period. Big or small, we're the only multiple vessel line that bases itself out of Alaska and is operated and owned by longtime Alaskans. And not even just regular Alaskans, heritage as well. The matriarch of the family, Betty Allen, is a full Tlingit, and her, when we started this company, that we'd be able to share the culture of her heritage in this place, as well as if you want to come to Alaska, the feline field, wildlife, the beauty. But I feel that we uniquely have a place to be to Alaska. We're true Alaskans, which is our tagline, and I think very fitting for us. And I'll just continue to talk the rain until you interrupt me. But we are based out of Sitka. We have four vessels that range between 40 and 70 passengers. And we even have a small 10-guest expedition vessel that goes in and out on really unique high adventure itineraries. So we include all of the must-sees, such as Glacier Bay, some of the port cities, such as Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, some of the smaller places that you might not get to see, Wrangell, Petersburg, and some places that you never would have heard of, such as the native villages of Cake, or Metlakatla, or Kasan. These are beautiful, tiny little gems that are authentic native villages and were welcome with open arms because, again, of our heritage. And it's really unique to be able to share this with visitors because a lot of people will want to come to Alaska and will want to see the culture of the area but don't realize that, one, it's super expensive to get out to these remote places, and two, there really isn't the infrastructure set up to be, a major tourist destination. So we get to take our boats in and out of wilderness places and then to these villages where we meet family members, go see demonstrations such as a totem carving demonstration, maybe is a demonstration on smoking salmon with the salmon he just caught, or going to see a dance performance. Really authentic. And experiences is that it's not.
And yes, I will speak about some of that because, as I mentioned, I had been on one of your cruises a couple years ago. It was on an itinerary that I don't think you have this year. But it was Sitka to Sitka, and I don't think you're doing that this year.
You are correct. We are not going Sitka to Sitka.
And it's absolutely beautiful. We went to small towns that you go, what? What? I've never heard of that poor town. Cake? K-A-K-E?
Yes.
What? Mm-hmm. What? I know yes. Sitka. No. And on the itinerary that we were on, obviously we started Sitka to Sitka, which is a port that people will be familiar with, but not all that often. Most cruise lines aren't tootling through there. But the only one that we had that was common on all cruises was Juno. And we were parked way off to the side, and we all got off our ship in horror looking at those big cruise lines that had pulled in big, big, you know, because one of the things good or bad about mass cruise lines, they have, you know, 1,200 to 1,800 of your closest friends. While...
Or 2,000 or 3,000.
Exactly. While yours go up to... What's the largest amount of people on the ships? 68?
72, if it was booked to capacity. Our newest boat, the Chichagov, will hold 72, which is pretty small compared to, you know, 2,500.
And we all went into town, and we all came screaming back by like my mad people going, "Mama, let me on. I want to go. Because we were just like, oh, my God. That's what you saw
well,
there.
Well, you know, and you bring up a good point, Lorene, in that, you know, I have a friend who works in the hotel business, and, you know, he always told me, Michelle, there's a butt for every bed. And that's true. There's a, you know, hotel type for everyone. There's probably crews for every type of people. But we're really focusing on the people who, again, like you said, don't want to share this once-in-a-lifetime experience with 1,500-plus people in a port with over 10,000 people. I used to live in Skagway for a very long time, and there were multiple days where there were, you know, over 10,000 passengers, not to mention the crew members that come off the vessels, 10,000 passengers in a town of 950. And so, you know, that's great for some people, but that's not the market we're trying to address. And for example, in Juneau, you know, a good comparison of what our day in Juneau is or what your day is versus one of the bigger ships, you know, on a bigger ship, it pulls in 7 o'clock in the morning, you're unloaded, you can do whatever you choose to do, maybe explore on your own, maybe purchase one of the multiple excursions a big ship offers. But our day in Juneau, like you said, we are parked to the side. We have our own private dock out about 8 miles out of downtown, so all you see is wilderness. We will take you in to town, have a complimentary, all included, you don't pay for this, tour at the Alaska State Museum led by a docent. We'll take you to Mendenhall Glacier, where you'll have time to tour around. You can spend a few hours in town if you want, or you can come back to the vessel, and then that afternoon, we head to our private island, Orca Point Lodge, and we have a beautiful all-you-can-eat barbecue salmon and king crab dinner on the beach on fire as the boat is tied up to the dock and you're just looking at scenery. So it's a very different Juneau day than the big ship, and that's really what we're all about.
Can you describe some of your fleet? Because as we mentioned, most travel agents will start off selling clients Inside Passage. And because that's kind of what you become more normal, you know, comfortable with. If you're new in the industry, that kind of seems to be what people want to do. And then you get a little, you expand and you learn as a travel professional to have your clients have a different experience. So you'll have them maybe do a land base up in land for 4 to 5 nights, including Fairbanks. And, you know, I tend to book with smaller tour companies such as Salmonberry Tours, who have been guests on our podcast before, and book accommodations and tours and then have my clients go on a southbound ship. That's kind of been my pattern. This year, as a travel professional, I've had the fortunate opportunity of booking not one, not two, but three of your wonderful cabins. Yay. Shows me my growth as a professional of being able to work with clients and focusing more on what a better experience they'll have. And they're all travelers. They've all done a lot of traveling. So I'm, you know, I know that, all due respect to Inside Passage, mass market ships, this isn't going to be what they want. They're qualified to do what you offer. So I was going to have you talk a little bit about what your ships are like, maybe what a little bit of your itinerary is, and maybe kind of what they will experience with the staff.
Sure, that's great. So I think, you know, one of the primary differences in small ship cruising, and again, versus the big ship, is that even a big ship doing an inside passage, I'm doing air quotes here for all you listeners out there, you know, doing an inside passage still means coming up from Seattle or Vancouver, and you spend a good amount of time motoring along the Canadian coastline until you get into, you know, just past Ketchikan, into Alaskan waters, and then you do your requisite stop in Ketchikan, Skagway, and Juneau, and then you motor back south. So we're different in the fact that our boats are based in Alaska. So guests would perhaps fly to Seattle and then fly to Sitka, Juneau, or Ketchikan, where we embark. Or perhaps, like you said, Maureen, you've planned for them to do a land excursion. They might be flying from Anchorage south. And when they embark on the vessel, all of the sailing is done within the inside passage. So you're not spending a day or two at sea just motoring. Every day is spent going either from wilderness place to wilderness place, or like we talked about, going to a small native village, or maybe going to Juneau on one of our itineraries. We do call in Skagway. So, you know, there's less time just spent watching the scenery go by, and more time actually engaging with the surroundings, whether that be going to a place or going to a wilderness area where you go kayaking, go exploring by our zodiacs or dibs, as we call them, going out to do a hike. So we do include all of your excursions. So there is no need to purchase anything else. So when we go from place to place, all of your activities are included. And we have kayaks that we keep on board with us. We have expedition leaders that'll take you on, you know, moderate walk through the woods or even a light hike for those who are interested. We have the exploration inflatables to take you right up to the ice and the icebergs and the shoreline. So the days are very full of activities, and again, all included. We have three main itineraries. We have a 7-night that goes from Sitka to Juneau or Juneau to Sitka. We have an 8-night that goes from Ketchikan to Sitka or Sitka to Ketchikan. And then we also have a 10-night that goes from between Sitka and Ketchikan, but it will go all the way to the northern reaches of the Inside Passage up to Skagway and Haines. And when we're in Skagway, we go for the morning, and we include a little tour of town. We take guests for a morning ride on the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. And then before the town gets all crazy with people, we hightail it out of town and head 12 miles south to the very authentic little community of Haines, which, again, is not a main cruise port for the big ship. So, again, we get to get back to that authentic, you know, real-life Alaskan place. So the mixture is about, I'd say, 50% inhabited places and 50% wilderness places. We include two glacier viewings on every sailing. One of those is in Glacier Bay, and the other is in Tracy Arm. So there's two different ways to view glaciers. And then we go to places that not even Alaskans would really know. I mean, they're not real places. Like we go to a place called Saginaw Bay, and most people who live in Southeast Alaska wouldn't even know where Saginaw Bay is, but it's a great place. It's a protective cove where we like to go and go see kayaking, go along the beach, look for marine fossils. So again, it's about 50-50, inhabited and wilderness places. And I'd say more moderate activity. We are not hardcore by any means. So if you have never kayaked, there is no need to worry about it. If you've always been interested, it's great. We have these easy loader kayak rails that you actually get in your kayak on the dock, and then you get the kayaks on rails, and it just gets easily just pushed right out into the water. So it's very stable. And we go hiking on beaches. Again, if you want a little more of a hike than a walk, we can always let the expedition leader know, and they can tailor it to your needs. I always tell people, though, if you're the type of person who goes to the gym every single day for 2 hours and breaks a sweat, and that's what you need, then no small ship is probably going to meet your needs, because again, we don't have casinos, like you noted. We don't have a gym. We don't have massage therapists and spa. But what we do have is the great outdoors, and that's where we get our exercise. And again, just feel free to interrupt me anytime you like, because I can talk about our product. It's so great.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the staff?
Yeah.
The staff is, my experience when I was there, they were amazing, and that they actually enjoyed their job. They weren't folks who rotated from, let's say they came in from Fort Lauderdale, had just done a repositioning, and now were on the Alaska itinerary. Your staff seems to be have a different type of history to them.
Yeah, I mean, because we are a seasonal company, we only operate from May through September, and because we're one destination, we only do Alaska. You're right, we don't have rotating crews that are going from, you know, Costa Rica down to, you know, Baja, up to California, up to Alaska, then to the Columbia River and down. So for our crew, which we have a lot of repeat crew coming year after year, coming up to Alaska and starting the season is really an eagerly anticipated time of the year for them. And they are enthusiastic. And again, we have people who come back year after year. We have an expedition leader on every vessel who will help get you out into the wilderness, but will also educate you about the wilderness, do slide presentations in the evening, explain all of the wildlife that you're seeing, whether it's, you know, the whales or the felines or the birds. So we have that expedition leader. And then on every sailing, we also have what we call our cultural expedition leader, cultural guide. And this guide will also help you get out into nature and explain things to you, but will also give presentations about their experience growing up in Alaska as a Tlingit or maybe a Haida or a Tsimshian person, and stories that their grandmother's grandmother told them, and their experience of interacting with the land from a Native Alaskan perspective, which again is unique to our line. No other small ship or big ship line has this cultural interpreter. So it's a really nice way to learn about the people from a local. And then everyone else, you know, all the way from the room stewards to the bartenders to the deckhands are all super friendly and really, like you said, enjoy what they do. And we do have an open wheelhouse policy, so people can go and camp out and talk to the captain, sit up in the wheelhouse, look at the chart, talk about, you know, navigating in Alaska, and the captains love to have people in their wheelhouse. It's also very fun for kids to come up and take their hand at being, you know, a junior captain for a day.
Now, one of my favorite areas in life is the food. Can you talk a little bit about the food that you serve on your ship?
And I think one of the most exciting things to me was how good the food was. I thought it would be fine, but it's really, really good. It's focused on fresh Alaska seafood. So whether that is black cod, sockeye salmon, king salmon, halibut, scallops. We mentioned all-you-can-eat king crab, Dungeness crab. There's a real focus on Alaskan food and seafood. There's also, of course, for people who may not be interested in seafood, which I'm very sorry for those people, but for people who are not interested in seafood, we always have options, terrestrial options, you know, pork or beef or, you know, all the other things that are on the land. There's always a choice of what you want. We have our own baker and pastry chef on board, so all of the breads and the desserts are made on a daily basis. I mean, our baker gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there'll be, you know, fresh pastries every morning. We have kind of an early risers snack in the morning, so at 6 o'clock in the morning, before, you know, as people are starting to get up, we'll have a whole table set up with fruits and coffees and, you know, three or four pastries that were made by the baker. And then breakfast will start depending on the day about 7:30, 8 o'clock. You can roll in and have a proper breakfast. We have lunch midday, and one of my favorite times is cookie hour. I don't know if you remember that one, Lorraine. Every day at 3 o'clock, the baker will bring out trays of hot cookies. And then we have appetizer hour, where people just get together and have a cocktail in the lounge, perhaps. We'll have, you know, rotating daily appetizer from 5 to 6, and then dinner is served after that. So really, there is no lack of food, and it is all absolutely delicious.
So, Michelle, I had the opportunity yesterday to have lunch with a fellow travel agent of mine who had actually been on an agent BAM with me a couple of years ago. And I had mentioned I was closing some bookings. And she's like, how are you selling this to your clients? And so I brought her one of your new catalogs, which, by the way, I don't know if you had catalogs in the past. I don't ever remember seeing them, but they're rockin' awesome, by the way.
Thank you. They are lovely.
Is your having catalogs, or just the first year I noticed them?
We have had them in the past, but I think in the last few years, our brochure has definitely raised the bar when it comes to brochures. Beautiful,
gotcha.
Nice. I don't know if you noticed the feel. It's got a nice tactile feel, and full of helpful information for selling.
It's beautiful. It really tells the story. In fact, the Amanda who is here quietly in the background with us that Barry introduced is a graphic designer, and she was going when you mentioned about, I don't know if you noticed the feel. She
oh good
loves,
yeah
she loves. She gave you the big thumbs up on the catalog.
Oh, I'm validated. Thank you, Amanda.
but in talking with this agent, I got all excited. I was reminding her of the activities that are included on the ship, about there's no subliminal upsell. Like, there's no, here, let's take your picture by the stuffed animal, and if you want, later you can buy it in the photo gallery. Or here,
right,
you know, there's this jewelry or art sale. That's always the other thing that I always find really bizarre in mass market ships is the art sale. There's different techniques. And what I was reminding her is that you will probably be on the ship for 2 days when you notice, oh, I don't have that pressure. And they don't know what the pressure is because they weren't even aware of it. But like you said, there's no massaging. There's no hair parlor on the ship. Do you even have a gift store on the ships?
We have a gift cubby. depending on what vessel you're on, it's either like one bookshelf or maybe 10 square feet on a wall. But it's funny because we have that mostly because people are asking for it. But it is not, you know, it's if someone wants to take a stuffed animal home or maybe some local products or a book, we have a small selection of that. But like you say, that is not necessarily the focus of generating extra revenue for us. It's really more of a, you know, a courtesy for people who want to take something home, but not a big focus of our vessels. And, you know, like you mentioned, we don't, you know, we don't have the art auction. We don't have a ship's photographer. That's not really what we're about.
One of the other things I mentioned to her, because we went to Cake, and I go, yeah, remember when we were coming back to the ship and they had a little pop-up tent and there were a couple women that were selling their jams and jelly? She, oh, yeah. That was the best. So, you know, you were, it wasn't something that had a large shelf life. You could bring it home to your family and you could have it for breakfast the next couple mornings when you're home. And it was something that was local. It wasn't, you know, something you would traditionally buy in a grocery store or in a gift shop. And so I was talking with her about that, and she's, oh, yeah. And remember when our guide, you could be in the lobby area in the evening and he would tell story, or you could go into your room and you'd get in bed and it goes through the speaker system and he's telling you bedtime stories about his family and all the tradition and all the things he grew up as a kid. So it got her excited again to be able to talk to her clients about, you know, being able to share the experience of what it's like. And, you know, we're both really glad that we met on that, on that BAM several years ago, and happened to be, I'm right now in Angel's Camp and she lives in Arnold, and we stayed connected through all that and had lunch yesterday. So it gave us the opportunity to connect and get her excited about selling Alaskan Dream Cruise to her clients also this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we love working with agents, of course. I mean, As I mentioned, I worked as a wholesaler on the wholesaler side where, you know, I worked as an intermediary between travel agents and companies throughout Alaska. And, you know, I'm happy to say that we really value the travel professional because you know your clients and you know your product, and so you can marry the two and we can work alongside because you know you have a relationship with them, you know that this might be a good fit or it might not be a good fit. And I think, you know, in looking towards helping the travel professional understand how to position this product, say, and sell our product versus, say, a big ship cruise, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. One of the major upsells, I think, on taking a small ship cruise is, you know, all of our activities are included, as I mentioned before. So when one looks at the introductory price of a big ship cruise, you know, it's definitely going to come in lower than our lead-in price. But then you add all the shore excursions, you add in, you know, the beverage package, you add in the pictures, you add in, you know, the art that you bought at the art auction that you never thought you'd buy art at an art auction. But all of those things, the transfers, the you know, all of the things get added in. And I think when you look at the overall experience of, you know, the overall bottom cost versus the experience, there really isn't much more of a cost to going on a small ship. More so, it really is the value of what you're getting. I mean, what are the things that we all remember when we come back from our vacation? It's like, oh, I met the nicest person. Oh, I saw, you know, the wildlife. Oh, it's the interactions with the locals that really are memorable, not necessarily, you know, the gift shops and the ports that you saw. And I think the experience on a small ship, and in particular our small ships, is so valuable. I mean, these are the transformative experiences, and this is the reason that we all travel, is to see new places, meet new people, understand different perspectives and different ways of life. And I'm just not sure if going on a ship with 2,000 people in three very crowded ports is going to give you that same transformational experience as going on a small ship. And I think for the person who has dreamed of going their whole life to Alaska, like this has been their dream. They met Jack London. They come to their travel agent and say, I've been saving my whole life for an Alaska vacation. It really is a shame not to make the investment in doing something, that is once in a lifetime, that is memorable. And so I think really in positioning how to sell this, one needs to talk about, like, well, what are your expectations? What are you hoping to get out of this? What are you looking for? Because if someone's really, truly looking to see Alaska, then this is what they're going to get. If someone enjoys being on boats and cruising around and entertainment and, you know, a Broadway show, then maybe the big ship is going to be great for them. But I think that for a lot of people who dream of Alaska, they're dreaming of a small ship experience more so.
And I couldn't agree with you more. Part of also the experience is if you're on a ship with the Admiralty was the one that I was on. And I think, is that about 40 passengers? We weren't full. I know we weren't full.
Yes. If the Admiralty is full, it books at 54. That is as many people as you would be on board with. It generally, sails right around the 40 to 50 range.
And to that comparison, so I think if I recall that when I was on, there was like 42 passengers. What's the staff amount?
The Admiralty, I don't have to take my shoes off to count here, but it's almost that bad. We have an expedition cultural leader, I'd say we sail with 18 crew. So it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio.
Right, right. Which is pretty amazing because you'll have somebody who's serving you or helping you through bags or helping you with your room is a teacher.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And everyone's just so excited. You know, whether you have a deckhand who's, tying up the boat or getting you in a Zodiac to go out, or we call them Marine Suitables, not Zodiac, which is kind of the difference between Coke and Pepsi, same thing, but just a different name. Someone helping you get in a bib, the person inside the boat, like that guy is going to be as excited to share with you and interact with you and be with you as the expedition leader or the bartender whose job it is to interact with people. So there's just a lot of, I always think that surprised me, and I don't know why it surprised me, but when I took my cruise on the Admiralty back in 2013, I went with my husband, and I very seldom ever bring him on a work trip with me, but I did, and it was great. And we lived in this area. Like, we lived in Southeast Alaska for years, and I have to say I did go into it with a chip on my shoulder, like, show me something I haven't seen. And we've all been there as travel professionals doing site inspections. It's like, just show me something I haven't seen because I got to get back to the office and work. But I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw a bear eating barnacles. I didn't know bears ate barnacles, but bears ate barnacles because I watched it myself. And the thing that was most surprising to me is I made friends. My husband and I, as adults, made friends with this couple from New York City. He was an art dealer, and she was his much younger bride, and they were hysterical, and we've remained friends to this day. And there were crew members that I met in 2013 that I still remembered and remembered me when I came back in 2015 and joined the company. So it's the camaraderie is amazing.
That's awesome. In exactly what you're saying, it's small, it's intimate. I don't know if it's changed in the last couple of years, but when we were there, there was no room key. So you didn't have one of those plastic keys where everything is attached to your credit card and lets you into your room, because there is no additional charge. There's no, you have to pay for this, you have to pay for that. You know, I want a little, you know, this and a that, and I need to bring out my card. And what amazed me was there was no door key.
And I know. That throws people off, for sure.
I love that. They're like, okay, don't be a dork and don't leave your DSL camera on the bed during the day. I mean, you want to have some common sense. But it was clear, we're family here, and we don't take from one another. You're safe. Yeah. And that was the message we were given, and that's how we started our trip. And it went with that, you know, totally going, wow, okay, yeah, you can go in your room and you close the metal door and you can lock it from the inside. But at any time, you just walk, you don't have to look for your key, you don't have to look for your key card. Mm-hmm. You just go into your room and you know you're safe.
Yeah, and that's so very Alaskan. I mean, you know, and just to assuage everyone's fears, I mean, we do have a safe. The hotel manager can put anything you don't feel comfortable leaving in your stateroom in the safe. It's fine. But, I mean, the thing I loved about living in Alaska for so long is, like, I never locked my house. I left my keys in the ignition just so I wouldn't have to find my keys in the morning. You know, we would go away weeks at a time and not lock the house. And so it's very Alaskan to live in this feeling of, like, I'm not going to steal from you, you're not going to steal from me, because we're all on the same boat and we all have to watch out for each other, which again ties back to our, you know, this is true Alaska. This is not just Alaska of wildlife and scenery and culture. This is how we all live, and we all watch out for each other. It's, you know, I still go on the boat, you know, 3 or 4 times a summer. You know, I'd love to be on it all summer. But every time I'm on the boat, I take so much joy in seeing the happiness of our guests on board. Like, these people are so happy. And it's, you know how it is, Maureen. You've been there, you've done that. Within 1 day, you've already made a new best friend, because everyone's so excited to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think you can get that experience if you're traveling with, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 people. Maybe you can.
And one of the ways that you support the travel agent community is you do offer a couple times a year some agent rates. Is that right?
Yeah. We just released our travel professional rates about 2 weeks ago, and we have dates on various vessels in May, early June, mid August through September. I mean, right now for this season, we are pretty booked and sold out for July and like mid June to mid August, we're pretty booked up, but we have some great dates and really great rates for travel professionals. I highly encourage all of you to contact me. I love when travel professionals come on board, because you know how it is. It is so much easier to sell something that you've seen and experienced than just by learning about it through a beautiful, nice brochure like we have.
Exactly. And I know that, and I'm going to see if Barry also has questions, but I also want to bring up the fact that you're a huge supporter of NACTA, and you're involved in this year's NACTA conference, which, by the way, for the listeners, the NACTA conference is going to be September 13th to 16th of 2017. It will take place at Captain Cook's Inn in Anchorage. And can you tell a little bit about a post-fam opportunity that you are going to be making available in the near future? I know it's not live yet, but I thought people may like to know about it.
Yeah, well, it's on the verge of being live, and they just need to flip that website button. But yes, we are offering a 3-night post-conference cruise from Sitka to Juneau. It begins on the 17th, and ends in Juneau on the 20th of September. And it includes Glacier Bay National Park, which is on everyone's list of things to see.
Excellent. And in case people weren't listening closely, it is part of the NACTA conference. So yes, you have to be a NACTA or ASTA member to be part of it. Just in case some of you listening aren't members yet, I would definitely recommend that you go to NACTA.com and or NACTA.org and become a member, because it's going to be a wonderful conference. And Michelle has added just a little bit extra on there so that that fun feeling of Alaska doesn't have to go away right at the end of the conference, which is nice because, like she said, it starts on September 17th. Our conference ends on the 16th, but you need to have some time to be able to get from Anchorage over to Sitka. And that may or may not be always, you know, the easiest thing to do, like on a really quick hop.
Yeah, you know, Alaska Airlines, you know, for most guests traveling during the summer, getting between Sitka, Juneau, and Ketchikan to Anchorage is pretty easy. There's multiple flights a day. The NACTA conference is in September, so they've kind of gone from peak season flight schedules to shoulder season flight schedules, so there's not as many flights between Anchorage and Sitka, but we have it arranged, so there's, you know, there are flights to be able to get. And then, of course, getting from Juneau south to Seattle to connect home is really easy. There's many flights at that time of the day.
Yep, yep. So, Barry, as always, you're so quiet in the background, and I know Mr. Wizard's going to be doing his magic, so Michelle and I actually sound intelligent. Well, Michelle is...
I thought you were going to have a magic show, and I wanted to stay tuned for that. Because I would, Barry. Stay tuned for that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I can't. No one would see it. Oh. I was going to pull a rabbit out of my hat.
but you can just say that you did.
Okay.
So that's the beauty. I digress. Yeah. I'm not going to get invited back, am I?
No, you're fine. That's great. You know, you guys really nailed it. I was winding up for a question on food, and Laureen beat me to it. Of course, you know, I'm thinking about food. So, and I can't think
Come
of
on
any,
up.
Yeah, I can't think of any good technical questions to ask you, like about engines or beam width or anything like that. But so, and that would bore the people anyhow. So I think I'm good.
I guess the only thing I can think of that one question that I get often is, or often, depends on how you like to pronounce it, but when people say, you know, because we talk about it being all inclusive, you know, what are the additional costs? So if you have our brochure or you go online, you know, with you'll see, and Maureen, you have this as well, you'll see our rates, and then there's a small amount of sales and port tax, which range, I guess, between $70 and $100 per person. So it's a very nominal fee. We don't include gratuities. We suggest between $15 and $20 per person per day, but that's totally up to the guest. And we do include beer and wine with dinner, but if guests wanted to purchase cocktails before dinner or after dinner, or additional wine, things like that, they can do so, but that is not included in the fare. But we do include beer and wine with dinner. That's one question I guess I get asked all the time.
And as someone who's been on your ship, as I mentioned, the food's like, oh my God. You guys got me the very first night, by the way, because Chef, the very first night, had wild mushroom soup. Oh my God. It was wonderful. Gail doesn't eat mushrooms. Yay. So I'm like, I'll have two. Thank you. And the portions on the plates were very manageable. I mean, I hate wasting food. And the portions are manageable. They gave you a couple of options. And there were some nights where I went, oh my God, they both look wonderful. And they went, well, do you want a half portion of each? Yes, please.
Yeah.
You know, yes. And then so like it, and then everybody started ordering that because I have this issue about kind of opening my mouth sometimes when I shouldn't or doing a little out of the box stuff. Then, oh, sure. That sounds good. Yep. I didn't know we could do half portions. And the crew is very flexible. And I'm glad you brought up the part about the tipping and some of the tax because the clients that I just booked yesterday, yay, put their deposit down. Yay. They were asking because we get the invoice and it has the cabin price. And then it said like $68 a person or something. And he's used to doing traditional ships. So he's like, well, where's the $250 a person port tax?
Right.
He goes, I know. It's going to be $500 more. I'm just where is it? And I actually had to call, and I either talked to Jessica or Sunny, and I go, is there a $250 port tax? No.
Yeah. So no, it's right, very nominal, for sure.
So right there, you're already saving your clients $250 a person.
Yeah. And again, we include transfers from the airport. So you're not being nickel and dime for airport transfers and things like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, we're not out to nickel and dime people. The owners of the company, the Allen family, would be horrified if they ever felt that someone came away feeling taken advantage of or surprised by hidden fees. Like, the Allens are really committed to sharing their home and their life and making sure everyone loves Alaska as much as they do. So there's really nothing sneaky about anything, you know.
That's good. Awesome. And I want to, you know, I want to thank you again, Michelle, for agreeing to come to be our podcast. I know that you and I have met a couple of times at the various NACTA conferences, and I just really felt a strong connection to you. And, you know, you're the company you're with, you know, you're a true Alaskan, even though I know you don't actually live in the actual state, but you can't get much
closer. But I actually do pay tax in the state. I still own the remote 5-acre cabin with an outhouse. So I am really still Alaskan. But thank you. I wear a true Alaskan as a badge of honor, for sure.
Exactly. And I think that maybe you and I are kindred spirits in another life, because some of the things you were describing as an Alaskan, I'm going, okay. No. Yeah, that's true. My keys are in my car. Yeah, okay.
It's just that, you know, I came up to Alaska after I graduated from college, and I thought that I'd come for one summer only. And I took a job with a big cruise line thinking that I was going to work in the Caribbean, and my job ended up being in Alaska. And one summer has turned into 25 years this summer of being infatuated with Alaska. And I think that it's a very easy product for me to sell. It's an easy product for you to sell, because it's a wonderful destination full of unpretentious people who are just eager to be who they are and share their life. And I really think Alaska Dream Cruises is something that embodies what Alaska is all about. And I say that as a, you know, as a person, not as a salesperson. I think it's great. And I know you do too. And I so appreciate you asking me to be part of this program, my first podcast.
Absolutely. And it also shows, you know, I have to say, it should. And Barry and I, my God, Amanda asked her, how long have you been doing a podcast? I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. Barry and I have been doing this over 10 years. I know. Barry,
you
both have gray hair.
You're cutting edge potters.
And we weren't our first podcast together. I'd been on two other podcasts prior to that. I mean, I literally was on the bleeding edge of podcasts. I did Mac Tech podcast when they first started. It was
wow.
Yeah. Oh my God, the gray hairs and the knee replacement. Yeah. But the reason I was going to say that is it really selling your product with pride is from my heart, because I want my clients to have the very best experience. Would it be easier to sell someone something like mass market, absolutely, if they're just looking for price. And somewhere in my professional growth, I want my clients to have the best experience. Don't bitch about the price, because really, when you're comparing apples to apples, this is a much better experience at a much better price, and they come back very happy, and they know it's different. It's like, oh my God, I trust you. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, your job is to make people happy and to come back and travel more with you. And I think, you know, this type of experience is one that will send you very happy repeat clients.
Yep. So, Barry, did you have any more questions for Michelle or regarding Alaskan Dream Cruises, or shall I kind of help introduce you out?
Well, I think you just did, and I don't. I'm good. A lot of information and very good detail, so I really appreciate that, Michelle. And introducing me out, well, I'm Barry, and you can reach me at barry@hometravelagent.net and on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. And Laureen, how can people get a hold of you?
The best way of reaching me is via my email, which is sharptongued@mac.com. That's sharptongued@mac.com. You can always find me one of two ways. I have my grown-up hat and professional work Facebook page, which is Sharp Tongue Consulting. Or there's me, just kind of being me, goofy, but get to have a lot of travel experiences. I love sending up photos where I've traveled and encouraging people to realize they want to go there too. And there's a lot of food porn on my Facebook page. That is at Laureen R. It's LORENER. Would love to have people friend me on either or both of those pages. And Michelle, darling, how do agents reach you? And I believe you also have an agent or travel professional newsletter that you offer for agents if they're interested in learning more about your product.
Yeah, you can reach me. Either you can just ask for Michelle when you email our general email address, which is info@alaskandreamcruises.com, or you can email me directly at mglass, as in M for my initial Michelle, and glass@alaskandreamcruises. Either one of those, you can reach me, and I'd be more than happy to add anyone and everyone who wants to be on our travel professional newsletter to the distribution list.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoy the rest of March. Yay, spring is coming.
In some places, spring is coming.
Oh, I'm getting like little high signs in the background. Amanda and now Ronnie has come into the room, and they said we did a great job. They said goodbye, and they're both ready to go. They're like, okay, which cruise are we going on? So
excellent. I'll save a spot for you.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Thank you, Michelle. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Laureen, for an interesting interview. And I want to thank you, the listener, for being here for us. And we appreciate your support and what we do here at the Home Base Travel Agent Show. We will be back next month with another show. And until then, safe travels, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye now.